God is, His glory, His honor, all those things. And we talked a little bit this morning about the plan of God. And tonight we're going to talk about some of those things about that plan that we need to understand. God has worked out the salvation of people from the before time even started. Before even the foundation of this world was started. God knows us, and we need to understand that. I don't say that to scare you. I say that so that you can know that He knows all about you. And listen to this, He still loves you, even though He knows you. To me, that's a fascinating thing, to know that He loves me, even though I know me. Isn't that wonderful that we've got a God like that, that we've got a God that cares for us that much? But we do have a God like that. It's not based upon, my salvation is not based upon all the things that I do, because I do those things because He saved me. Not in order to be saved. But because God has saved me, I'm going to do what He wants me to do. And that's part of the plan. This morning we tried to show that the plan of God has always been that God wants people that will be willing to love Him and obey Him. That is true all the way from before time even began. God said that was who He was going to save. And He did that in the patriarchal and the mosaical and even in the Christian age. Those people that were willing to do His will. So I know today we have more. We are blessed in a greater way because of all the things that we've got. Really because of this book and what it says. And we're able to read it and study and find out some of these things. Those things that were kind of a mystery, kind of strange for some of those people. Those things have been revealed for us. And the things that we need to know are found within the Word of God. Those things that are important. I didn't say the things that you want to know. The things that you need to know. Those are the important things, and those are found there. So we want to look at that tonight. Paul, I think you're doing Ephesians next, aren't you? Okay. And I'm not trying to get into that, but there's no way that I could talk about the plan of God without getting over into the book of Ephesians just a little bit. And I'm going to tell you, you're starting Ephesians Sunday morning, aren't you? Okay, he's going to do one more Colossians, and then he's going to do Ephesians. And that's a commercial, if y'all don't know what that is. Be here for that. It's going to be a great class, and I want to encourage you in that. But Paul started the book of Ephesians. He was trying to go back through history and show people that God has a plan for you, that God wants to save you, that God has designed the church for you before time even began. And they needed to know that because some of those people at that time were departing from the church. Some were being led away. Some were just walking away. And here he is trying to say to these people, how can you walk away from this when it's something that God has planned and He has performed and He has done this for such a long time? Do you realize what you're doing? Do you understand what you're doing? Don't do that. Have you ever seen anybody that was doing something, or maybe they were planning something, and maybe it was our children or our husbands, don't want to say our wives, but our husbands, and you were trying to tell them, that's not a good thing to do. But you knew they were going to do it anyhow. So you try to get as much evidence, you try to help them to understand that as much as possible, so that they won't make a bad decision. So they'll make a good decision. That's what Paul's doing in the book of Ephesians. He's showing the importance of the church. He's trying to help people to understand how necessary the church is. Now, turn the book to Ephesians, if you would, and I want us to see something. In Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 6. We read this morning, but I want to read it again because it's such an important thing. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What has He done? Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. How is all that done? In Christ Jesus. That's how it's done. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's how we should be. Now, God planned that out. Anybody, I don't care who you are, anybody who is willing to be a person who you are going to be there before God, and you're going to try to get your life right, and you're going to try to live right, and you're going to try to do what God says. You love God. You care for God. Let me tell you something. You're going to be saved. That's it. You're going to be saved. Somebody said, where does baptism come in that? That's obeying God. That's obeying God. Now, you get down to the specific things. I'm looking at the whole general thing here. Anybody can be saved. I don't care who they are or where they are. They can be a part of the church. And they don't have to know everything. We don't know everything. We won't know everything. But here we can know enough to be able to do that. Verse 5, having predestinated, set this thing out, to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ, to Him according to the good pleasure of His work, to the praise and of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. Hey, do you see the importance of the church here? That's what Paul's trying to say. How can you go away from something like that? How can you depart from something like that? Then Paul goes on and he goes down in the second chapter, verses 11 through 19, and you read that if you would, and he shows us what people are that do not have the church, where they are, and where they're not, where people are not working with the plan of God, as we mentioned this morning. He says some of these people, these people who are without God, they are without Christ, they're alienated, they're strangers, they have no hope, they're without God, and they're in this world. This is where they are. All the benefits, all the things that they're going to gain, it's got to be here in this world. Now, do you just want things now? To me, that's short-sighted. Can you understand why Paul was trying to say to these people that you don't want that? You don't need that. What you need is the church. What you need to be is a part of the body of Christ. That's what you got to be. Oh, is it going to be hard to do that? One sense, no. In another sense, yes. Because I've got to take this flesh and set it aside. It's not an easy thing to do. I'm worldly. Aren't you? We all are. And that's what we'll go to if we're left to ourselves. That's where we'll go to. We'll just do that. We'll just go right back over to the world. That's the reason it's so important for us to connect ourselves with a church and to be a part of it, to connect ourselves with the Word of God and to follow that. And that's what Paul's trying to say to these people. Don't depart. Don't go away from that. That's not what you want to do. In Christ, we are brought near by the blood of Christ. That's what verse 13 says. That's how it's done. That blood that was shed there, that God started preparing, we saw in Genesis this morning, how that God made that promise of that Messiah that was going to come. We can go through all the Old Testament and see God there as He's saying to those people, He's coming, He's coming, He's coming, He's coming. And in the New Testament, He's here. And what did we do? Went right back to the flesh. Let's kill Him. Let's do away with Him. Let's not let Him be the Lord over us. He doesn't fit the mold of how we think it should be. Let me tell you something. What we've got to do is to give up all that we believe and believe what God tells us to believe. That's it. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying that's what we've got to do if we want to be a part of the body of Christ. That's what He's trying to say here. And that's what we need to understand. There are some things that we need to understand about that. And I hope y'all thanked Linda for me not preaching all this sermon this morning. Linda said, how could you have preached it all? You used more time than you were supposed to. Well, okay. I found out they don't pay overtime around here. Did y'all know that? I mean, this is the only job that you can work, go over, and people don't like it. But that's the way it goes. You win some, you lose some. And I added some to that this morning, too. I didn't want you to not get your money's worth. But look at this. This is something we need to understand. God has power, and He will not be defeated. We saw His power. We saw what a little bit of what His glory was. And then we're going to see His plan, what He's got worked out. But I want you to see not just His plan and what it has worked. I want you to understand the consequences that we've got to have in that plan. I want you to understand and see that there's things that we need to understand about the plan of God that maybe we don't understand. And maybe that's the reason we don't obey it as well as we need to, because we don't fully comprehend what it's all about. All right, now, look at this first point here. God's plan for your life is built on, not built on your timetable. We know what Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, where, you know, with the Lord, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. What he's trying to say is do not put your timetable on God. But we do. And then we wonder, where is he at? What's he doing? God, I want you to do this. And I really need that by 4:30 today. And we say, oh, we understand that. Do we? Do we really comprehend that? Do we really understand what that is? Abraham was made a promise in Genesis 17. He was made a promise, you're going to have a son. Okay, did he believe God? Yep, he did. He believed God. When's that going to come? He was how old when he was made that first promise? 99? Huh? 85. I got it right. 75. Y'all don't know what it is, do you? It's easy to throw people off. 75. Okay. Anybody in here, any of you men in here 75, raise your hand. Okay, we're going to get y'all a new baby. What about that? What do you mean I want to adopt it? I tell you what, I can see Richard walk around here holding this new baby saying, look at this baby, this is mine. Would you want to do that at 75? What about 100? Would you want to do that? A promise was made. Do you know that promise was made and 25 years later it was fulfilled? I'm going to tell you something. I would have given up. Wouldn't you? I would have said it's not going to happen. That's a lack of faith. That's a lack of trust in God. Abraham tried to work it out, or Sarah tried to work it out. Ended up in a mess. Every time you try to speed up God or slow God down, it creates a problem. Timing is so important. Timing is such an important thing. I've got up to preach before, or I've left the front pew to come up here to preach, and the sermon was not the right time for it, and you change. It just wasn't the right time. Timing's important. You go look for a job. And if you don't go at the right time, they might say, we don't need anybody. 3 days later, they may say, we need somebody. We need somebody. Timing is important. It is necessary. So the timing that God has worked out is according to His wisdom, according to His understanding, according to His will, and we need to follow it. I'm not saying it's easy. 25 years you're going to sit around and wait for a child to be born? I think Abraham and Sarah did pretty good. I probably would have made even a bigger mess than they did. But it's God's timing. And God does that. God sets His time and He operates His time. And we've got to understand that. All right, point number two. We've got to understand and we've got to recognize that God's plan for your life sometimes involves pain and heartache. Now, we always, you know, preachers want to leave the impression that all of this is, if you do God's will, then you're not going to have another problem. Have you heard those fellows on television? Hey, listen, you send in for this prayer cloth in 1995, and you'll heal the sick, heal your finances, put it on your checkbook. Whoop, this money just rolls out of that thing. Sounds great, doesn't it? What if a fella got on television and said, let me tell you something, I want you to become a Christian. And when you become a Christian, they're going to beat you. Your kids are going to be taken to prison. You're going to have to give up your job. And people are going to hate you. And they're going to talk bad about you. How many people would say, I want that? We've got to understand, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying in this. I'm not saying specifically, oh, this was God, and He caused this pain, and He caused this person. I've seen people say, oh, God caused this person to die. God caused this person to live. I don't know that. I'll let God handle that. But I know that obeying God's will and doing what God wants to do and being working in the plan of God does not mean that everything is going to be good in your life. And you may have to suffer, and you may have to bleed. And let me tell you something, you may have to die. You may have to turn away from your mother and father, your brother and your sister, your children. You may have to do that. Oh, we don't want to talk about that. That's not what we want to talk about. Talk about the joy of salvation. Talk about the joy of heaven. But don't talk about those things. Those things are things we need to talk about. Because it's being honest. And if there's anything that we need in religion today, it's honesty. And helping people to see that. Now, I suppose one of the great examples that we could look at would be that of Joseph. Here's Joseph. He has his coat, many colors. His father loves him and expresses it in a way that is not conducive to a family. Do not show partiality in your children. That's a wrong thing to do. It hurts the child and it'll come back to haunt you. Don't do that. But his father did that. Joseph mentioned his dreams. What happened to him? Well, his brothers took him down when he came down there and put him in a pit. They were talking about, and the conversation was leaning toward, let's just kill him. And then somebody came up with the idea, let's sell him. So Joseph was sold. He was sold as a slave to be carried to a foreign country. And in that foreign country, he was one who was doing good at Potiphar's house, doing great, and then the wife came in. He was accused of sexual immorality. It evidently must have been believed. He was cast into prison, and there in prison, he was there. And prison, it's hard for us to comprehend when we go to the jail up here and we see how the prisoners are treated there. Has nothing to do with how those people were treated. Some were beaten, some were starved, and many died in prison. I mean, it was a terrible place. Nobody wanted to go. He interpreted helped a man to be able to get out of jail that was supposed to remember him. He didn't remember him until another occasion, and then Joseph was there. I helped that guy. He didn't help me. I'm still down here. What's going on? And then Joseph was brought out. He interpreted the dream. He was made second to Pharaoh. He was made the king of the whole country, per se. Please don't misunderstand that. He had all those blessings. He had all that. What would you do if you could deal with the people who had mistreated you? How would you handle that? I'm glad God doesn't put it in my hands. I would probably misuse it. And it should not be. Here's his brothers. His brothers come down in Genesis 50. And they're there before him. Their father now is dead. He has made a promise he's not going to kill them. But the brothers think, you know, daddy's dead now. He may think this covenant that he had with daddy is gone and we're going to die. They were afraid. So they go to him and they said, now, Joseph, you know, can you remember when you made a promise to daddy about not killing us? do you remember that? Listen to what Joseph said. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? Who pays people back for wrongs? God does. You don't. Understand it? That's what we've got. That's the plan of God. And we've got to understand it. Understand that. He said, I'm not in the place of God. But as for you, understand this. There's no evil going to come up against you. That's not going to happen. You meant this thing, he goes on to say here, for bad, for evil. That's what your purpose was. They knew what it was. These boys had made a big change. They knew what it was. He said, But look at what happened here. God intended this for your benefit, for the nation's benefit, for all the people's benefit. That's what God intended it for. Now, question's got to come up. Okay, did God put him in the pit? Did God put him in the slave market? Did God put him in the prison? Did God put him there and all the punishment and the things that he went through? Did God do all that to him? Yes. Yes, he did. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know about a God like that. The reason we don't know about a God like that is we don't know about God's plan. I hope you never have to suffer for your Christianity. Maybe some of you have had to suffer over the years for your Christianity. But I'm going to tell you something. You may have to. Don't look at God and say, God, why? That's just a part of it. There's pain in being a Christian. There's heartache in being a child of God, and we need to understand it. And we need to recognize that. This thing of Christianity is not all happiness, joy, and smile. I was listening to a preacher last night, and his sermons are always positive about everything that's great and everything that's good and all this stuff. That's great, but it's not always that way. Do you know Christians shed tears? Do you know Christians feel like their heart's just being pulled out of their body? That doesn't mean God doesn't love you because you have problems and you have difficulties. Some of those things may help us to correct us, to help us to be the right kind of people that we need to be, to have a tender heart. That may be what God's trying to do. Maybe if we wasn't so hard-hearted, we wouldn't have so many troubles. We've got to understand that. And God's plan may be painful. It may be hurtful. But God's plan is right. It's right. All right, now, look at this one. God's plan requires obedience, not compromise. It requires that we be obedient to God. We go to a man where there's a decree. You're not supposed to be praying anymore to any other god except the king for 30 days. Anybody know what that guy's name was? Daniel. You can't pray for 30 days. And see, the whole thing was to try to trap Daniel, and they did. Daniel heard the decree. He heard what was said. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He knew that it was now a law. What did he do? He went home and in his upper room with the window open. Shut the window, fella. They might not know it if you shut the window. But he left it open. He wasn't trying to hide anything. And it's just 30 days. Why in the world could you just wait on praying to God for 30 days? That's not that long. You've been praying to him all your life. Per se, up until that point, you're going to quit for 30 days, then you start back up after the 30 days is over with. Why put yourself in danger? Why put yourself in danger of opposing the king? Because he was not going to compromise his religion. How many compromise their religion? Well, I'm just going to go to this party this time. I'm just going to drink because I'm here with these people. I'm just going to do this because of that. And I can go back and do that again. And I can not come to church on Sunday morning and sleep late. Or I'm just going fishing, you know, with these friends this Sunday. That's all I'm going to do. We're just going to go with those people today. That's going to be it. We're never going to do this again. And it gets to be a habit. We've got to be careful about compromise. Now, please understand, I'm not saying that I've got a good friend in Florence till this day. He can tell you about his daddy. They had a ball game that was on Wednesday night, and his daddy wouldn't let him go. And some people say, oh, man, that's standing for the faith. Well, I don't know. His son doesn't think that still after probably 50 years. I'm not saying that you have to be here for every service. Some services, you may not need to be here. But there's people that were here this morning that are not here tonight. I wonder if they, what we call providentially hindered. In other words, did God put something out there for them to do? Did God put a car wreck in front of them where they could stop and help somebody? Did God put a person that needed food in front of them so that they had to be there to do that? Or did they just decide, I don't want to go to church tonight. He's going to preach about the same thing he preached about this morning, so I don't want to do that. And you know, I'm so sleepy. I want you to see. He went and he prayed. What did he get for it? Almost got invited to dinner. And he was the meal. And we read that story and we tell our children that story and the lions' mouths were shut. What if God had said, I'm not going to shut those lions' mouths? What it was like his three friends that were cast into the furnace. They said, you know, if God can bring us out of this furnace, but it doesn't make any difference if he does or he doesn't. He's still going to be God. We need to understand this. We need to recognize we cannot compromise our religion, and we don't need to do that. Now, have some common sense about that. Don't go wild in it, but have common sense about that and understand that. Be committed to God. Be a person that your desire is to serve God and to do God's will no matter what. Now, look at this one. I'm getting close to the end. Hadn't got there yet. God's plan will always face opposition. You try to do God's will and you're going to be opposed in it. You go to Genesis 1. All the creation, God created the heavens and the earth. Man was there, created him out of the dust of the ground, and even gave him a woman to top the whole thing off. Gave him a wife. Everything's wonderful. Here comes the snake. You know, he's coming around. He was a little more subtle. He was a little more talking. And he said, now what did God tell you you couldn't do? Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, I don't mean to say anything bad about God, but the reason he doesn't want you to eat that is because if you do, you're going to be as smart as he is. And he don't want you as smart as he is. Satan is not silly. Satan is not somebody with a red face and pointy horns and a tail that's kind of like a fish hook that grabs you. And he doesn't have a pitchfork. Sometimes he comes and sits in church buildings. Satan was there in the beginning, and he hadn't left yet. And he won't leave until God tells him to. So here we have this opposition. We can see that other people have, and you know, we go to Luke 6 and we see Jesus there. Was Jesus ever opposed while the Pharisees were after him? They even just plain out said, we're going to kill him. I mean, he's going to die. We can't beat him as far as the miracles. We can't beat him as far as the teaching is concerned. There's nothing we can do, but let's just kill him. We'll lie and we'll kill him. If they oppose Jesus, do you think that the devil is going to let you alone? If he could, he would defeat Jesus Christ. If he can, he'll defeat you. God has his plan. But now, as we've mentioned before, God has his plan, and he gives you the opportunity. He gives you the privilege of either accepting and being a part of his plan or going and doing your own way. Now, you can do what you want to. You've got a right to go to heaven. You've got a right to go to hell. That's your decision. And you decide that. Don't fool yourself into thinking, I'm going to heaven when you're not. Look at where you're at. Don't be lost. That's what lost is. You don't know where you're going. And when you get there, you're not going to like it. So we've got to be people that we recognize that. They oppose Jesus. They're going to oppose us. They opposed him because of anything that they could come up with. They were going to talk about Jesus and oppose him. But he was one who was willing to overcome. We talk about the temptations that Jesus went through, and those temptations were great. You can have, I'll make you the king of the whole world. Could he do that? Yes, he could. It's his world now. We've got to give it up. We don't need it. It's made for the flesh. And we're not fleshly people. We're spiritual people. And we walk according to the spiritual things of God, to God's plan. That's what we're trying to do. All right, now, last point here. We got to understand that God's plan for your life always prepares you for the battle. God's plan always prepares you for the battle. You go to the book of Ephesians. What's he trying to do? Here are people who are going away from the church. Here are people who other people are opposing the church and going against the church. What is Paul doing? He's writing a letter to this church trying to prepare them for the battle they've got to fight. He's saying, look at the church. Look at God, how God planned that from the beginning of time. He planned that for you. It's for you. It's for you. He made it for you. You're going to turn it down? A gift from God, and you're going to just say, I don't want that. I don't like that. All of it is there for us. God has done it all for every one of us.